We are living epistles. That's what the Bible just said. Amen? Okay, what page are you on right now in your life? Think about it for a minute. What page are you really on? You know, I mean, what chapter is in your life right now? Are you, well, on page one, I'm saved. Okay, what happened to you in page two?
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn.
Happy Friday and welcome, everyone. On the program today, Pastor Bill continues his study from 2 Corinthians with part two of the message, Freedom from the Veil. Let's listen in.
And watch this now. From glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord that is working in our hearts. Listen, the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer, it is His greatest desire to take you, take me from glory to glory, glory to glory. And it's all done, not by us. It's done by the one who lives in us now. Amen. We're all being transformed into the very image of Jesus Christ. That's why we smell like the Lord to God the Father. I love this verse. I thank God for this verse. Man, you know, into that same image as we are mirrored. That's what God is talking about here. His life manifested in us. Listen, transformation, sanctification, justification. When a believer comes to Christ, he's immediately justified by God. Amen? Okay, it's a judicial act in heaven. It's a one-time event. It's a fact, not necessarily a feeling. However, sanctification is not, okay, you're sanctified. Yes, you are. You're set apart and you're holy. But sanctification is an ongoing process from glory to glory to glory. See, you have to grow up, amen? And the way that you grow up is that you put your eyes and your heart into the Word of God. The veil has been taken away. You have freedom from the veil now that lied to you, that told you you didn't need anyone, that God was a crutch or whatever. Are you following me? That veil has been taken away, and then you stick your head into the book, the Bible, and guess what happens? Does it start coming alive? Yes. Why? The veil has been taken away. And listen, there is no transformation, none. Without you renewing your mind. Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. The same word, transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. That's the only way you're going to, see, if you're not going to renew your mind, you're a written letter from God. You're an epistle of Christ. There's no doubt about it. But you know, the fact of the matter is that you're still on page one. See, and it also means that if you're not being transformed by the renewing of your mind in the Word of God, it means you're not a living sacrifice. That's verse 1 of Romans 12. You haven't presented yourself as a living sacrifice. See, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. You've got to know what those commandments he's talking about. Does that make sense? You renew your mind. You're never going to know what God's will is for your life without renewing your mind. You have the greatest treasure in the entire universe in your hands. It's called God's Word, the Bible. And we have to do that. And that's how we go from glory to glory to glory to glory. I mean, into the same image. Listen, here's the thing about this process, okay? If you're not changing, if I'm not changing, if we, in other words, 5 years have passed, you're born again, and 5 years later, you're still the same person, then you know what? You're not beholding. You've changed, but you're not beholding. You're not in the process. You're not in the stream. You're not traveling with the Lord. Your head is not in the book. You're not meditating on it. You're not memorizing it. You're not letting it direct your life. You're just stuck, if you will. Listen, we are living epistles. That's what the Bible just said. Amen? Okay, what page are you on right now in your life? Think about it for a minute. What page are you really on? You know, I mean, what chapter is in your life right now? Are you, well, on page one, I'm saved. Okay, what happened to you in page two? Well, I'm saved. Yeah, I know, but can I, okay, you're saved. I can't keep reading the same thing. Can I get a little bit more information? What are you doing in page two? Oh, I'm not doing anything. Well, then why not? Are you following me? See, glory to glory to glory. Now, loved one, listen, you know, the Christian explorer David Livingstone said this, I'm willing to go anywhere, 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 as long as it's forward. What believer would want to live in the same chapter all of their life? Huh? No. I mean, do you read other books at home? How many of you read the book and go, well, I've read chapter one today. I said, well, okay, what's the next chapter? I don't know. I just read chapter one every day. Or you say, well, really, I just read the last chapter and guess what the other part's been. No, you don't just go, well, I'm just in chapter one. A month goes by. Where are you at? Chapter one. You don't do that. No, listen. See, glory to glory, yes, it means conduct, that changing of our lifestyle, the way we think and act. We act like our Lord. We're changing into His image. But it's more than that. See, from glory to glory to glory means we're moving. We're in a process of transformation. We're going someplace. In other words, we're living an adventure. Does that make sense? You never know what God is going to do in our life. It means that when you go from glory to glory, as an epistle of Christ, that there are so many unwritten pages of adventures that's waiting for you. That's why it's so exciting to follow the Lord. People say, well, you know, they get upset about it. Don't get upset. It's an adventure. You never know where God's going to take you, but it'll always be into His perfect will. He'll never lead you astray. Oh, absolutely never. It says from glory to glory to glory. It doesn't say that you're stuck in glory. Does that make sense? Study out the great men and women of the Bible. You know, you take Abraham, for example. There he was in the Ur of the Chaldees, the city of moon worship. And then the Lord spoke unto him, you know, in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, that's 70 words or less. And on 70 words or less, Abram left the Ur of the Chaldees. Remember, the Lord said unto him, says, now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, okay, number one. Get away from your family, number two. Get away from your father's house, number three. Number four, to a land that I will show you. I want you to leave absolutely everything that you know is certain and step out at 75 years of age in what you now don't know about or what is uncertain to you. But I'm the living God. Amen? See, listen, loved one. What if Abram stayed in the Ur of the Chaldees? What if he never left? What if he just stayed right there, you know, there on the great Euphrates River and fishing or whatever you do? I don't know. I mean, listen, he would have missed the glory to glory, the glory, meaning the process. In other words, would Abram ever become Abraham? No, that's the process. He would have missed it. Would Abraham be known then as the friend of God? No, he would have been Abram of Ur of the Chaldees for the rest of his life. He would have missed the plan of God. He would have missed the adventure because he was stuck. Stuck right there. God's wanting to take all of us glory to glory to glory. He would have missed, you know, the land that God was going to show him and give unto him, the great name that he was going to make and a great nation that's going to come out of him. And remember what God said? If through you, Abraham, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Who is that? How? Jesus Christ, the Savior, would come through Abraham. Do you see what I mean about following the Lord? Man, the adventure is from glory to glory to glory to glory. What about the apostle Paul? His name was Saul, remember? Yes, Saul of Tarsus. You know what he did. Acts chapter 8, verse 3, I think it was. Man, he made havoc of the church. He was locking people up. He was putting them in prison. He wanted them to renounce Jesus Christ and all of that. You know what he did. And all of a sudden on the Damascus Road, he went from Saul to Paul. Amen. Paul went from glory to glory to glory. I know he wrote at least 13 epistles. You follow me? Romans, which is considered the greatest masterpiece in the world, by the way, the Magna Carta of the New Testament. I believe he wrote Hebrews, and that makes 14. He would have never given us that. Paul would have missed out on all of that. He would have never gone, as we will learn when we get over in chapter 12, he was transported up into the heavens, man. He went to heaven. He would have missed out all of that. Peter would have stayed, Cephas, right? He would have just been, you know, a crummy little old fisherman, broken down boat, mending his nets all of his life instead of Peter. You understand? He had never walked on water. We wouldn't have 1 and 2 Peter. He would have never preached the first gospel sermon in Acts. Do you understand? Glory to glory to glory. That's what it's all about. Loved one, listen, I don't want to miss the plan or the process. are the glory to glory into the same image. Amen? Do you want to miss the whirlwind? I don't. I'm just watching it form right now, being prepared. Praise the Lord for all that God is doing. See, from glory to glory, the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer in our hearts, it's by His strength alone. Listen, are you here this morning? Maybe you're listening live, you know, and you're stuck in glory. It's easy, I think, sometimes for Christians in America to do that. In other words, you're stuck in the new birth. That's where you ended up. You're born again. You're saved. Heaven is going to be your home, but you're stuck right there. You're not moving on. You're not growing. You're not discovering your gifting or any of those things. You're just dormant. You're stuck right there. Or you might be, you know, well, Bill, I'm born again. I that upper room stuff. I got that too. What are you doing with it? Well, I don't know. I got it. That's all I needed. No, you're stuck. You're stuck in the upper room. Get out of the upper room. The upper room was for Acts 1:8 about going into Judea, Samaria, Jerusalem, the whole world. Amen? It was to give you the ability to be the witness of Christ. That's what the upper room was all about, to bring in the harvest. No, you know, sometimes you say, well, Bill, you know, I'm old. Well, I'm getting old too. I mean, 45, I can tell you, I feel it. No, listen, you're not old. You're living. You're living. Well, I have to use a cane. That's okay. I have a staff I use to beat the sheep with. You know, it's all right. Listen, age is just a number. Let God use you up and burn you out. Amen? Don't get stuck anywhere. Just go from glory. Well, I like it back there. Those were the good old days. Well, no, those days are gone. You know, we can't live back in the Jesus movement. It's gone. Do you understand? Chuck's gone. We are not. We're moving forward into whatever the movement God has for us. So we never want to be stuck in glory. See, if the transformation, if the glory to glory has stopped, then what you need to do is you might want to ask yourself, have I stopped following the Lord? You understand? That's what it's all about. You know, if any Christian is ever stuck in glory, there's only one reason why. And that's because they're resisting the Holy Spirit of God. Because the Holy Spirit of God, His greatest desire is to take you from glory to glory to glory. Didn't know what it said? We just read it. He's the agent. He's the one who does it. That's His greatest desire, is to conform all of us into the image of Christ Jesus. That's what His church should look like and act like as well. Loved one, listen, it says there again in verse 17, now the Lord is a spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Praise God. Freedom from the veil. The veil has been ripped off of our hearts. Amen. Listen, whenever he went up into the mountain, remember, God called him up there in, I think it was Exodus 24. He said, I want you to come up to the Mount Moses. And Moses went up there. 6 days, he just sat in the cloud waiting. God didn't say anything to him. The seventh day, God spoke to him and called him on up there. And you know what he did from chapters 25 of Exodus to Exodus chapter 31. What did God do? Well, he not only gave him the Ten Commandments, but he gave him the law of the Sabbath and how to build all the utensils for the holy place and the Holy of Holies, you know, the Ark of the Covenant, the lampstand, and showbread table, all those things, the brazen altar. God gave him the pattern of the tabernacle and how it would look and all of the colors. That's incredible what God did. And then not only that, how the priest should dress and the whole bit, all of it. And then at the very end of chapter 31, it says in Exodus 31:18, and when God had made an end, meaning the 40 days were over, end of speaking with Moses on the Mount Sinai, he gave Moses two tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone, meaning the Ten Commandments, written with the finger of God. Can you believe that? You imagine carrying that? You imagine seeing that? I mean, it just blows me away. And there's Moses, 40 days, 40 nights. He didn't eat, he didn't drink any water, alone with God. I mean, shut up to God. Do you know that Moses, if you read that at that time, he was the only person on the face of the earth that was having fellowship and intimacy with the living God. Man, I think about that. I say, oh, Lord. Remember what Moses told Aaron, his brother, and all the rest of them? They were there below Mount Sinai. He said, now, boys, I'm paraphrasing, I'm going to be going up to see the Lord. Now, Joshua, you come with me. You're going to wait halfway. You wait right here, and I'll be back. And he says, you guys stay until I return. Well, there, you know what the story, what happened. You know, the Moses has the tablets. God gives them the tablets. God says, go down, your people, they've corrupted themselves. And funny that God says, your people, Moses, you know, they've corrupted themselves. So he goes down, and then he, as he's going down, you know what they're doing? Aaron, who is going to be the high priest, I mean, it's the 40th day. If he only waited a few more hours, but he didn't. The people, well, we need someone, Moses is not going to return. We need a God that's going to lead us back to Egypt. And you know what he did? He says, well, give me your earrings, give me your gold. And do you remember what all the gold and the earrings were for? They were for God, weren't they? For the tabernacle. And he melted them down, you know, and put them in a furnace and did all the engraving. And Moses comes down, man, he is hot. In other words, Aaron made Israel's first idol, that golden calf. Moses comes down, and I mean, he is so mad. He's got the tablets in his hands. He meets Joshua halfway, and he goes, Joshua says, oh, you hear that? There's the noise in the camp. Must be a war. And oh, Moses says, oh, that's not a war. That's the sound of singing. That's the sound of sin. That's the sound of calf worship. That's what Moses was saying. And he comes down, and it says in Exodus 32:19, and so it was as he came near the camp, and Moses saw the calf. Moses saw the dancing, and he became angry and became hot, and he cast down the tablets. He threw down the Ten Commandments and broke them at the foot of the mountain. Question, there were probably 2 million people, maybe. You see what I mean? The Jews. Here's the Mount Sinai. Moses is down. Now Joshua is with him, and he comes down. Why is it that if there were 2 million people there, why is it that all 2 million people were deceived and worshiped a golden calf, but one man wasn't deceived? Why is it that one man had the courage to look at all of them and say, you have sinned against God? He took that golden calf. Remember what Aaron said? I don't know. I just threw it into the furnace and out came a calf. Remember that? Hello. Boy, I can lie better than that. And what did Moses do? He got that cow. He got the thing. He ground, put it in as powder, threw it into the water and made them all drink it. Drink your God. You know what I mean? Don't you love Moses? He had the courage to do that. Why? I'll tell you why. You know why Moses wasn't deceived? Because he spent time in the presence of God. And there's a secret. Your veil, the freedom of the veil. Oh, loved one, you are free. The longer you stay in the presence of God, the less deceived you'll be. The longer you stay in God's word, the less deceived you'll be and want this stinking world that's passing away. Do you understand? We need to be in the presence of God. Because why? Because that's what is real. This world is passing away. This world is not the true reality. This world is an illusion that we live in, loved one. Listen, in Exodus 34, every time that Moses went up to the mount, he would take off the veil, remember? And he would have fellowship with the Lord. And then when he left, he would put the veil back on when he came down and so forth. Listen, here's the deal. Remember what happened when he came back down? The glory, the radiance would fade. There's something about, and you know it, and I know it, when we stay near to God, something happens. Just like Moses, the veil, there he's glowing. The image of, we glow, but we don't see it, but we glow in the same image of our Lord. Do you follow me? Because we're being transformed. But when he came back down, that glory was gone. It faded. And yes, I know that has to do as an illustration or symbolic of the law passing away, but it's deeper than that. When you stay near to the Lord, draw nigh to me and I'll draw nigh unto you. When you stay near to the Lord, something happens to you. And something happens to you when you stay far from God too. Man, we need to stay right next to the Lord. The law can't save anyone. Let me ask you a question. Thou shalt not steal. Does that stop people from stealing? No. It condemns them, but it doesn't give them power to not steal. Do you understand? See, the law was not grace, but the new covenant. Man, it is grace. Listen, you know, all of us, our end will come, unless the rapture. You understand? Our letter will end. It's going to come to an end. All these days, every day, with the pages that are being written in our lives, are the glory to glory to glory. How do you want yours to end? I mean, that's a very important thing. See, let me tell you something. If you don't know, if you're here this morning, maybe you're listening live. If Jesus Christ is not your Lord, there is a letter against you. It's against you. And God wants to remove it from you. Do you understand? Colossians 2:14, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. And he, meaning Jesus, has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Listen, I don't know about you. I don't know how big a book I had when I came to the Lord, but I was writing a book. Do you understand? So were you. And you know what Jesus did, what God did when we came to Christ? See, Jesus died. Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. He says, I took that book. I took the handwriting of the requirements you failed to perform. I took that book. I nailed it right there to my Son. And now when you believe in Him, your sins are as far as the east is from the west. They are buried in the depths of the sea, and they'll never return unto you. Amen? That's what that's all about. And I say, oh God, you're so good. You nailed my book to the cross. Jesus paid for my sins. Every person, every life is a letter. What's your last page going to read? It says, nevertheless, when one turns, when one repents, when one comes to the Lord, meaning Jesus, the veil, that thing over your heart, if you don't know Christ, that veil is taken away. Jesus, be my Lord. Oh, it's gone. It's stripped away immediately. And all of a sudden you go, I don't know what happened, but I know I'm different. And then you read the Bible and you go, I'm getting it. Why? The veil. Freedom from the veil. What stopped you from coming to Christ is now gone. Oh, loved one, listen to me. You know, if you're not a Christian, I love you. I don't mean this in a... I love you. If it offends you, you won't care if you make it to heaven. But if you're not a believer, you have a veil over your heart and over your mind. And I'm telling you, there is someone who hates you so much, who cannot stand you, who never wants that veil removed. And he's found right in a few scriptures below there in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Look at verse 3 with me. It says, but even if our gospel, that's the good news, if it's veiled, well, it's veiled to those who are perishing, meaning those that don't know Christ, whose minds the God of this age, that's the devil, has blinded, who do not believe. That's the only way you can get the veil removed. Lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Listen, do you desire to have freedom from that veil that has deceived you, kept you down, kept you from going and being the son of God, the daughter of God, the child of God? Freedom from the veil. All you have to do is come to Christ Jesus. And you know what he'll do? I tell you what, he will rip that veil away from you. And guess what? Can you imagine having a brand new blank letter page? Nothing there. Just a new beginning. Just a new journey in Christ Jesus our Lord. Father, I pray right now in Jesus' name, if there's anyone in this chapel, if they are not born from above, if they've never asked Christ to be their Lord, I know they have a veil over their heart and mind, but if they'll just say, I want that veil removed. I want it removed. I want to see again. I want my mind to really think right again. I want to be saved. I want Jesus to be my Lord. If you will confess Christ as your Lord, if you will believe him in your heart, that veil will be taken away. So, Father, I pray right now, any people that are here, maybe just one, maybe two, maybe, Lord, I don't know. But if that's you, and Christ is not your Lord, and you want the veil taken away, would you just lift your hand and put it right back down? That's it. Just say, Bill, pray for me. I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. You don't have to come down here. I'm telling you right there where you're sitting. Last call. I'll not ask again. If that's you and you want the veil taken away, you want Jesus to be your Lord, just lift your hand and put it right back down.
Well, it's been a good week of Bible study, and we want to thank you for listening along with us. Pastor's Study continues on our Monday broadcast, and we hope you'll join us once again. My name is Brian Whitaker. For Pastor Bill, God bless you, and so long for today. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us
for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.